Chapter 33 Gourley jumped. Up on his feet he went, head whirling. The ropes constricted, and down he went again. He groaned and slowly made his way back to his feet. The rain had stopped, and sun rays split the clouds in the sky. He turned and faced the sound of the aggressor, a tall figure, with huge shoulders shrouded in a dark purple robe, stood in front of the cage. A heavy war mace swung back and forth like a pendulum in his gauntleted hand. Gourley didn't say a word. He just stared back. Heavy eyes went up and down him, eyeing his scales. Most of the man's face was shadowed, but Gourley could see the tattoos. A hard expression. A glimmer of metal armor under the big man's neck. The man stared at him as if he should know him, or was waiting for him to speak.
This is your test, Gourley. This is your fate.
His stomach groaned. His legs felt weak, and his neck was heavy. He checked his hands. Still clawed. Still scaled.
Good.
It wasn't uncommon for a changeling to wake up as someone else. Dreams, especially bad ones, could do that to them, but it had never happened to Gourley. Not yet, at least. Moments passed as he tried to think of things Nath would say.
I accept your surrender. It seems the flies like you. I know an orc that is taken with you.
Nath had an unusual way of finding humor in the gravest things. He also had a sharp tongue and wit about him, too.
I guess when you're a dragon, it's easier to get away with those things.
The cleric wasn't alone. Behind him stood several more acolytes with their hoods pulled down. Colorful tattoos decorated their heads in bright and exotic colors. They had chains and shackles in their hands. Morite, by the looks of the metal.
Oh, great.
Two other figures stood looming in the back with black wings folded over their backs. Drakus, a higher order of the lizard mankind. The part man, part dragon undead creatures were something Gourley had come to dread. Their cold eyes disturbed him. They had no value for life, as true life was no longer in them. He thought of the dwarfs.
I hope they are free and clear of those evil goons.
The lead cleric raised his war mace up and brought it down on the lock. It fell to the dais on the roof in two pieces.
Step back!
The man said in a heavy voice. Gourley backed up a few paces while the other robed servants opened the door. In moments, they had Gourley's arms and legs chained and shackled. His wrists were bound behind his back, tight, uncomfortable.
Come out!
The large man said. Gourley stepped out with a flutter in his stomach. He felt less free and secure. An incantation was muttered by the hooded man. The mystic ropes that bound him slipped off his body and coiled up on the ground. An acolyte picked up the rope, held it out, bowing, and said to his leader,
"For you, Kryzak."
Kryzak grabbed the rope and smote the man across the face with his mailed fist, knocking him to his knees.
"Lord Kryzak,"
the war cleric said.
"Imbecile!"
He turned his attention to Gourley.
"You may speak now."
Gourley said nothing. Raced in his head.
Kryzak.
He should know that name. He'd heard it before in stories. But there were so many.
Kryzak, who is that?
His stomach made a loud rumble.
Too hungry to speak, dragon? Has your sharp tongue weakened over the years?
His shoulder.
And you seem so much more, all those scales. I'm sure they'll fetch a fine price on the market, along with that lovely head of hair of yours.
Still envious, are we?
Gourley said, without thinking.
Perhaps you can buy it, assuming you could afford to. An ugly
bit of it.
Blast! They only look like scales. I wish they were real.
Glad you found your lizard's tongue, Nath Dragon,
Kryzak said, making his way around and facing him. The man's eyes were as haunting as his deep voice.
I wouldn't enjoy this so much without it. Come!
Across the roof they went by a metal leash on his waist, picked down the from large alabaster stones, talking most of the way.
I've been waiting for this day,
he said.
But I'm surprised you haven't resisted further. You were always so temperamental.
He cleared his throat.
And how are your little friends, Dragon? Do the ones that survived me still live? Or have our forces killed them? We've killed so many since you went into hiding. 25 years of dying.
He stopped and waited for the acolytes to open a pair of great bronze doors.
But don't feel so bad. It was always going to lead to this, and it's better than drowning.
What? Drowning? Krizak.
He recalled the story that was told to him by Bezog and Brenwar one night.
The man who murdered the elven rover and tried to kill the others in the crater. They always wondered what happened to him.
Gorley took a hard look at the man.
He's purely diabolical.
A large room greeted him with high arches and vaulted ceilings. Dark curtains were pulled open around huge bay windows, and beautiful tapestries hung on the walls. On the far side, a grand opening led out onto a large terrace. In the middle, a giant oval table stood alone with high-backed mahogany chairs around it. A map hung on a separate wall, and a large padded chair with lions carved in the arms sat like a throne on a dais nearby. It faced a window, and a woman was seated there, facing the terrace. She did not turn when they entered. Gorley swallowed hard. The room felt cold, unnatural. The pungent smell of death lingered. He gazed around, just moving his eyes, high and low. Blood stained the marble floor. Dark spots blotted the carpets. His breathing thinned. His hunger froze. Power, evil power, crawled in his skin and bones. A large bird swooped inside the room. It landed on top of the woman's throne-like chair, facing Gorley.
What is that thing? A bird? Or a dragon? Oh, no. A drulcher.
Those he knew about. Feathered dragons. Small dragons that preyed on the dead and the living like vultures. They were known to terrify gnome and halfling villages from time to time. They ate pixies like frogs eat flies. Gorley held his gaze with blood frozen in his veins. Drouchers, unlike most dragons, actually did eat people. Of course, he was never clear if they were more dragon than bird, or more bird than dragon. They were the best of the worst in both. Nasty. It glared back at him. A restless hunger filled its bright eyes. He had seen drouchers on a battlefield full of the fallen once. Their jaws opened up like a python's and swallowed up parts of men whole. It had left him empty inside.
Is he well secured?
The woman said. Her voice was deep, dark, and powerful.
The Moorite is intact as it pleases your will,
Krizak said, bowing with the others to a knee.
My queen.
Good. Now,
she said, still sitting, still without turning,
you may all leave us.
Krizak stood up and stiffened. His mouth opened to speak, but didn't.
Are you still here?
The war cleric bowed and slowly backed away through the doors with the others, glaring at Gorley. Gorley offered a smile. It didn't last. It felt like a tomb was sealed when the doors closed behind him. Nothing was said for moments until finally the High Priestess spoke. Her voice turned his blood to ice water.
My, aren't you clever?
Oh, no. She knows.